Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
Bemi is going to come and read God's word to us, and then Ben is going to come and speak. Thank you so much.
This morning's Bible reading is taken from Romans chapter 5, the first 11 verses, and I'm reading from the NIV version. I encourage you to follow as I read in your Bible. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be back with you again and bring you the Word of God. It's always a privilege to do that, of course. And, bring you greetings again from Wilford Baptist Church, where I'm from. And I think next week you've got, forget his name. That's good, isn't it? Roger's coming, isn't he, next week to be with you. I just want to share how it is I came to pick this this reading this morning, and this word to bring to you. At Willsborough, we've been doing sort of family services over the period of the summer. And Kelly, who many of you may know, she brought the story of Jesus calming the waters when they were out on their boat fishing. And she brought this this chapter to us, and three of the verses that we're going to look at later in particular. And those three verses had quite an impact on me. You know, when you go to and you hear something and you get a word, don't you, from God, from the Bible, and it sticks in your mind, doesn't it? It stays on your heart. And this is exactly what this has done for me. Because when we go through difficult circumstances and we endure, we need to be reminded of where it all started. And that's what it did for me. It reminds me of when I first became a Christian, when I first put my trust in God. And that's something I want to explore a little bit in this passage today. I want to ask you a little question. Do you like to reminisce? Do you like that, you know? Look back at the past, you know, things that have gone well, things you really enjoyed. You look back, and particularly some of us older folk. I'm not that old, but I'm 49, getting on a little bit. We look back and we think to ourselves, don't we, oh, I really enjoyed it when we went to this place on holiday. wasn't that great when we went on this trip? And well, the flight there was fantastic, but the flight back wasn't quite so good necessarily because we nearly missed the flight or anything like that. Unfortunately, that nearly happened to me coming back from Italy last year, but we won't go there. But you remember these things, don't we? And we look back on them with some fondness. Some of the things I like to reminisce on a little bit myself are when I was younger, I was very much into my sport, very much into sport. And I've got a brother who's nearly seven years older than me. So I looked up to my brother quite a lot for my sporting achievements and my tuition, if you like. So I was very, very keen on cricket and football in particular. And then a bit later on, fishing. And that's something I still do. Don't play football and cricket quite so much now because the bones don't allow that. But I used to really look up to my brother for that. And that's something I remember a lot. I mean, what he taught me when I played football, he regrets now because I'm far better than him, of course. You know, and that's just natural. But of course, some of those times that we remember, the good times, were sometimes in times of family life, which were difficult. But we can look back on those in fondness, can't we? And remember that we just kept going through them. And we didn't let those worries and woes and doubts and problems get the better of us. We remembered the good times from family life. Some of those good times weren't always so fond. I sometimes used to wind my brother up quite a bit, which would result in me getting a wallop. And it's not always good when you're some brother 7 years older than you. So it tends to hurt a little bit, but there we go. But I think, essentially, this passage in Romans is something that Paul is seeking to do. If I could be so bold as to say, perhaps he's reminiscing a little bit. He's taking the listener, which were the Jew and Gentiles at the time, back to the beginning, to when they first knew God and what the whole point of it is. You know, they were still quarrelling a little bit, the Jews and Gentiles, about the principles of justification and why it was that Jesus came. So I want us to explore a little bit of this chapter then. Well, this chapter starts off with an adverb, doesn't it? A conjunction verb, which is therefore. So indicating that there is a link between the previous chapter, chapter 4, and this chapter. And in chapter 4, Paul is instructing them about Abraham and how Abraham was strengthened and endured many a circumstance, but how much God valued him and made him righteous because of his faith. But it's also in chapter 4 saying about how that faith of Abraham wasn't just for Abraham, but it was for everyone. And if we link this in with chapter 5, we're going to explore the assertion of faith expressed through joy. So Paul starts off by saying how we've been made right with God because of faith. And that we have peace because of trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. That our sin is no more. There's no more an obstacle because we have that small amount of trust in the first place. That seed that has been placed in us when we first come to the Lord. That's what justifies us. That's what they were arguing about, justification. So I think it's important for us to start here and be reminded of this fact, isn't it? It's what I would like to describe as our impenetrable base. It's our starting point. Nothing else can change that for us when we've got our faith in God. We've been made right, haven't we? We've been extended that undeserved privilege of love of the Lord Jesus in our lives, that we're called children of God. And it's good to be reminded of that fact, and we should remind ourselves of that fact every day, shouldn't we? When we come to God and we give thanks to God. Of course, it's not necessary to say that once we have accepted Jesus, we become perfect, of course, because we're not. We're never going to be perfect until we reach heaven, are we? And we meet our Maker. But we live in that perfecting state. It's not always obvious, though, is it, our joy? Because we're speaking about joy. Sometimes our joy can be a bit dulled in that, can't it? You know, some of us might not necessarily have insurmountable problems we're trying to deal with. Might not always go around with a huge beaming smile, might we? But it belies that joy in us. You know, some of us might have a sort of what I call a resting grumpy face, if you like. And some people might think, you don't look too great, do you? You know, and people are wondering, well, what's wrong with them? But it doesn't necessarily express our inner satisfaction and peace that we might have, does it? But of course, it's not to say that many of us don't endure problems and troubles and strife. Because many people, well, all of us in fact, will at some point have burdens to bear, won't we? And troubles to deal with in our lives. And we wonder, how are we going to deal with that? But many of us in this day, we live relatively comfortable lives, do we not? Compared to the times of when Paul was writing this. You think back to them, many of them were suffering in poverty. Probably wandering the streets a good deal of the time. May not have had as much food or wealth or anything like that we have nowadays. But it's all relative to where we are now, isn't it? We still have those problems and trials and tribulations coming our way in different ways. And we can all think of those times, can't we, when we do have those. But it's how we handle those in the trials and the tribulations, isn't it? It's how we deal with that. Do we go about accusing God of not looking after us? Or do we say, well, it's just my luck, isn't it? It would happen to me. Or here we go again, or why me? We can get very down on our luck about it, can't we, when we suddenly sort of hit those times and we don't remember our God and Saviour in these things. And you're probably like me, typical bloke. When troubles come our way, we try and deal with everything ourselves, don't we? We set about fixing it, saying, yep, this is what's got to be done. Become self-sufficient. We have all the answers and solutions. Because we know the best way to fix it, don't we? To restore that feeling of joy and stay at the status quo and being on the level again. Well, I think that's a dangerous situation for us to be in, isn't it? I think I, as well as anybody else, can be just as prone to doing that. We close our circle and we forget God, we leave him on the outside of that circle, don't we? But who knows best in this situation? So what is Paul saying in this passage? And I want us to focus on verses 3, 4 and 5, which are those three verses which particularly impacted me a few Sundays ago. Verse 3 and 4 says this, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation." So why the trials then? Well, if we look at the disciples, when they endured losing Jesus from their midst, they were experiencing great woe, weren't they? They thought, what on earth is happening here? Our Saviour, Jesus, our leader, has gone. Where is he? He's died. Is what they are telling us, is what he was teaching us right? Do we still trust him? All those feelings that he must have had in their heart at that time. But then Jesus comes back again, doesn't he? And they realise, yeah, he's right, he's here, he's in our midst. He's come back as he said he was going to be. And he'd be with them again, leading them. And they were strengthened, weren't they? And they went on to carry on proclaiming the teaching of Jesus and who this man was. that he was God. But how much they must have feared initially. And so it can be with us, I believe, that we can be in those times. But in those times that we find ourselves in, when we're under pressure, when we're dealing with those difficulties of life, there's a purpose behind it. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about diamonds. A diamond comes up, doesn't it? It's the most precious stone. But how it's formed is quite magnificent. It's not a lump of coal, as some people like to think, apparently. It is actually just a lot of minerals and leaf material and all the everything that's rotting in the ground being a long, long way down in the ground, being compressed and compacted by heat and pressure that turns it into this stone. And during the course of time, obviously, or in mining, it's found in the ground or it comes up through the ground and it becomes this precious, clear stone. Do you want to be a precious, clear stone in God's kingdom? I do. So I allow God to have those times in my life where perhaps I'm undergoing that process. We're under that heat and pressure that God allows at times for us to be changed, to be more like him. He wants us to be honed so we increase in our faith. And we learn to trust him more. So we need to understand and hold close, do we not, to our hearts that there is an end purpose in mind when God is allowing us to be in those times. And for us to rely wholeheartedly on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that works through us. Let's not hold anything back when we're in those times. Let's give it all to God. Trust wholeheartedly in his guiding and in his process for our lives. And in those times, give thanks to God, remembering the good times as well as the bad times, and praising him for everything that he has done for us and for his goodness in our lives. So we shouldn't go back and accuse God of anything, should we? Because he's looking after us. He's sown that small seed of faith early in our lives, which we can use to stand upon as that firm foundation, as one of the songs says, isn't it? So we can rejoice, as verse 3 says. We can rejoice when we have trials because we are developing endurance to go on. So let's not give up and create that closed circle in our lives, but let God be at the center of our circles. Yeah, and as I've said, it's important for us to give thanks every day, remembering when God first came into our lives. Now, when I first became a Christian, I was 19 years old, and I was at a youth meeting. We used to meet at a friend's house. Some of them were a little bit older than I was at the time, and they led. And they were talking about quite a in-depth subject, I thought, for a youth meeting at the time. They were talking about the second coming of God. That was quite intense. But, you know, it hit me between the eyes like a steam train. Am I going to be ready when God comes back? Will I know God and will I be accepted into his kingdom in the state that I was in at that time? Yeah, I went to church and I was quite a happy-go-lucky sort of chap. I was well into my sport. But had I accepted God into my own heart? Had I invited him in? Was I sorry for the way that I'd lived my life? And you know, by the end of that meeting, I was in floods of tears because I was so worried of what my parents might think, ironically, rather than necessarily what God might think. Of course, it was driven by God, what was going into my heart. But the next Sunday, our minister brought to us a word. He didn't know anything about what happened in that meeting. He brought to us a word from Acts. He was talking about the Holy Spirit coming to us. And Acts 2, verse 21 is the verse which I can hang onto. All that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that the truth? So when I endure difficulties and problems now, I can always go back to that and hang on to God's promises that he will not leave us or forsake us because we have called on his name and I am saved, just like every one of you here that puts their trust in God. So verse 4 specifically says, endurance develops character. All too often we give up because we don't seem to be able to do whatever it is we want to do, being reliant on our own strength and wisdom. But when we remember God each day and give thanks, he gives us just a little bit more grace to keep going, doesn't he? As I've sort of referred to in my heart, he gives me that grace each day as I'm going to him in praise and thanks. And of course, hopefully you're all too well aware of the character traits of God, because I understand you've had a summer series on the fruits of the Spirit, have you not? Yeah? But you might ask yourself the question, why is it Paul is specifically referring to faith and joy in this? He also refers to love in this chapter. Well, I think the short answer for that is the context in which he's presenting this to the Jews and Gentiles. He's highlighting the initial faith, isn't he? That seed which I've referred to, being imputed to them from God, and the resultant joy that this might bring in their hearts, because that is our initial joy, isn't it? That's where we first discover the joy of knowing our Lord when he first comes into our hearts. And everything beyond that is us enhancing it, is honing it, is striving to add those fruits of the Spirit into our character, to be more like Jesus. And we do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. So we have that indicated in this passage, don't we? We endure and we strengthen our character, and therefore that hope of the salvation that is given to each one of us. Do you want to be closer to God? I do. Or do you want to be more like God? I do. So seek to add those fruits of the Spirit that you've learned about in bucket loads. And when you're enduring those difficult circumstances, think about your own character. I have to think about my character all the time, because it is in those trials that we are being challenged, probably about one of these fruits, isn't it? And being like Jesus should be incentive enough for each one of us to keep going. What a man he was, that he would give his own life for each one of us on the cross, but to be raised to life again so that everyone would believe in his name. So when you find those elements of your character hard to conquer, hang on to him. Hang on to that time when you first put your trust in Christ, and you will know that joy again, and it will sustain you through those difficult times. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Verse 5 of Romans says, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves with his love." This is the hope that the Father wants for us, isn't it? It says it does not lead to disappointment, so we should strive to be thankful to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in each one of us until that day when we finally meet him and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." While I was preparing this, I was thinking, actually, I'd kind of be interesting to add two more character traits, wouldn't it, to the fruits of the Spirit? Perhaps a little bit cheeky, because, you know, this is the Word of God we're talking about. But the two words are endurance and perseverance. They're two doing words, aren't they? When you think about the fruits of the Spirit, they're kind of like done words, although we're trying to achieve them. So perhaps it's not a good idea to add them on because they're doing words. But we do need endurance and perseverance in bucket loads, don't we? Instead, I think we should remind ourselves that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit with us every day. That continues to fill us with the love of Jesus. It's love that endures. It's love that conquers. And it perseveres. And it's love, the love of Jesus, that has been demonstrated to us so that we can celebrate in that joy of knowing Jesus. Ephesians 1:13 also says the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he purchased for his own people so that we would praise and glorify him. What a gift. Paul finishes this short passage in Romans by directing everything back to the reason we have faith and joy, reminding us of the once and for all sacrifice that Jesus has made in sending him because he loves us so much that he is willing to sacrifice his son because of our sins so that we'll be made right with God the Father. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all bring love. This is a joy-filled fact, isn't it? That we should be inspired to keep going right to the end. And this is a fact that we should reminisce on in our hearts. You know, Spurgeon says this of this passage, and he sums it up far better than I can. The text is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. The love of God, the Father, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Behold, the blessed three in one. It needs the Trinity to make a Christian, to cheer a Christian, to complete a Christian, to create in a Christian the hope of glory. We have divine love bestowed by the Father, made manifest in the death of the Son, and shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You know, if you've not made yourself right with God and he's prompting you this morning, don't ignore him. God is prompting you for a very, very good reason, because you are his. And he wants you with him in his kingdom. He's waiting for you with his arms open wide, because he wants to include you in the number that go up to heaven with him. He's given us that opportunity. So if you need to put your trust in God this morning, come and speak to one of the leaders today. Come and speak to me. And they'll be too glad to pray with you and talk that through further with you. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let Jesus guide your life. Let God into your hearts so that you know that blessing of the love, faith, and joy that we've all received today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's just pray as the band come back. Yeah, Father God, we stand before you today and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have gone before us and you've come into our hearts and you have filled us with that initial faith and joy that we can rest upon in those times of difficulty, in times of trial. But we can celebrate and know, Lord, that we are with you because you first loved us. Not because of anything we have done, but because of the death and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, who was raised to life again, so that we would believe and be welcomed into your kingdom. So, Father, fill our hearts this morning with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse us, remold us, and make us more like you, Lord, so that we would bear your light, bear your character, and that our faith and joy would be overflowing to all those around us, we pray today. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.